Once in my life, it's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number on the line, Fred. And thank you, man, for hanging in there, man. So many things going on as I've been trying to get the listening audience. If you just tabulate all of these things that are happening in this country right now, it's really just mind-blowing. And before we went to break, man, we were talking about the Democratic Party and where they are. And so, Fred, you know, we're really at a point where at the state levels, Republicans control everything. You know, there was a time, Fred, when we knew blue-collar people who lived in rural areas were Democrats. We knew where Democrats were.
Yeah.
Coming from, right? They were from urban cities. The Democrats were there. This is where the strength of the Democratic Party was. Let me ask you, because I often hear Democrats say, and especially on a national scale, that Democrats must start listening to the rural communities and hearing what they are saying. In essence, catering to the rural communities and basically ignoring the urban centers where they get, you know, the majority of their votes from. Well, what do you think? What do you say when you hear that kind of conversation? It's going on everywhere. Democrats have forgotten the rural people, and so they need to start focusing on that.
Well, I think that Democrats have to clearly understand what works in America now. And the emphasis on the, quote, rural community, unquote, is just another phrase for white males. And if the Democratic Party wants to succeed beyond electing presidents, because Democrats can elect presidents, it's happened, and I think it'll happen again. Depending on, you know, the circumstances. But, you know, the Democrats have to do what the Republicans have done and make that message clear. Because as I was saying earlier, back in the day, back in the 50s, back in the 40s, back in the 60s, the Democratic Party was the party of the little guy.
Right.
And you could be a little guy in the county or in the city. But those interests were brought together. That used to be the template. Now, these parties are like cults of personality to me. And whoever, Hillary Clinton's got another book out. It's a murder mystery about her life. So here she is talking her book, and that these people never go away. And that's part of the problem with the Democrats. They keep retreading, you know, people who used to be in office, not understanding that that song doesn't resonate anymore. It happened in Virginia with McAuliffe. He lost to this guy, Youngkin, and he had already been governor once before. So the Democrats need to relate to the base. What is the base of the party? You know, the Republicans talk about the base all the time. Trump has the base. So what is the base of the Democratic Party? It used to be black people. It used to be black voters. But now our rights are being stripped away every day. And to that extent, if you want to focus on rural folks, there's plenty of opportunities to do that, it seems to me.
You know,
that's my view.
You know, Fred, It is the correct view, and you just know that those in leadership in the Democratic Party either don't know that or aren't going to figure it out in time enough. And they're going to lose on both sides because people in these urban centers also realize and feel like they've been abandoned, right? I mean,
well, they're not going to vote for Republicans.
I know that it's a question about whether they're going to vote or not.
Yeah, that's the key.
And if you don't vote, it's really a vote for Republicans.
Like Bernie Sanders, that's why somebody like Bernie Sanders, if he wanted to run again, could be even more advantageous because he still has a solid constituency of young people that will vote for him and that will go to bat for him and work for him.
So Fred, let's turn the page and let's talk about immigration. Because, again, this is another one of those questions and conversations that is so critically important. We live in a nation, Fred, that you and I know and everybody else knows there aren't enough Americans that are going to be willing to work these jobs that pay basically minimum wage. Our society can't survive without it. And then you've got people on the right, and I always say, I hate to say on the right because people think that means that they're right, but people who want to do everything within their power not to let immigrants in because they believe that they're going to vote Democrat. And in the meantime, the society suffers because there's nobody to do the work.
Well, I think obviously it's a very complicated issue, right. But here's what I'll say about it. There have to be controls. And the question becomes, are the controls going to be detrimental to the existence of the economy as we know it? Because you're absolutely right, Earl. Immigrants are very critical to maintaining the infrastructure of this country, right, particularly in the Southwest, the Southeast, certainly where I live. That is definitely the case. And workers are needed, and they're going to be coming in. We just don't want to see the kinds of heinous situations that we just witnessed with those folks that were found
in the truck,
right, semi-trailer. That's what makes it such a horrific issue to deal with. So it's easy to say, let's cut off the immigration flow, because in certain parts of the country, it might be problematic. It may not be as problematic here in North Carolina or in Wisconsin. But in those states on the border, yeah, there need to be controls because the economy is going to be affected. So, I mean, the debate goes on, and, you know, there's no easy solution to it. You can't put children in cages like right. Trump did, you know, and there are, but that's what they do. So I'm still optimistic, if I can use that term, that at least things will be ameliorated to some degree, but I can't see a way out of instituting some kind of control because down the road, you know how this works, Earl. 5, 10, 15 years from now, it's not going to get any better.
Hey, but Fred, but you also know, and I know you understand, that that at the root of all of this movement is policies that are happening in Central America that we have kind of upset the apple carts in those nations.
We have no clear understanding of the policy that affects those countries, except that we're being told that that's where all the gangs come from.
I know, Fred.
The Republicans have now shaped the discussion and the debate around Mexican gangs, Guatemalan gangs, that have, you know, come into the United States and are now, you know, running the drug trade. And there's no counter to that. I haven't heard it.
No, there's no counter to it, Fred. But the other side of that coin is when you look at Guatemala and El Salvador and those areas, and you see that our policies have, we've determined who's in leadership in those countries, so we can do what we do as a nation, and we put in power who we want in power, and we've done that historically. And so those people are leaving many of those areas because of our policies. And that's why
because of the gangsters that the U.S. put into power.
Yeah, that's
who they thought were about democracy.
Right.
To be sure, you know. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you who the president of Guatemala is.
Neither can I.
Nor Honduras, nor El Salvador. I just know that they exist.
Right.
Number one, and number two, I know that gangsters come out of there. And they come to America, and they do whatever it is that they do from a gangster standpoint. But, you know, nobody knows those people. And as a result, whatever the policies are, I don't know what the policies are.
No, no. But we know what
the policies are. That's a whole nother discussion for, and that's why I say it's complicated, Earl, because there's so many things that we don't know that we'd have to investigate and find out and determine, you know, what a course of conduct should be.
But, Fred, what we do know is whatever is happening there is leading to a flood of people who are risking their lives and taking only the clothes on their back to walk across deserts to try to get here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And sometimes something horrible happens.
Right.
Like, you know, the folks who perished, and it makes you look at what's going on in that part of the country. And again, what are the policies? What happens? Because it's not going to stop. It's only going to get worse.
So, Fred, as you stated in all of this, it's all complicated. It's all complicated. And just because it's complicated doesn't mean that we as Americans shouldn't try to find out why, right? I mean,
exactly.
I mean, because it impacts and affects all of our lives. So, Fred, we got eight minutes left. Hey, Fred, we got about 8 minutes left. You want to hang in there one more time?
Sure.
All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's great to have a conversation with you, man. Miss doing that. Be right back. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.